Tonight, I wanted us to look at something called recovery, preparing to recover. What we need to look at in our life and in those that are hurting around us, that when you see that hurt, you need to have the Christian attitude, wait a minute, let me help you recover. Because so much is going on, and God says, okay, here's what we're going to need to do. Peter, tell them this. So Peter says, I want you Christians to prepare. Have you ever got in situations where all of a sudden you realize, I'm not prepared for this, besides being in a college class? No, no, no. And for somebody like me taking music with a music professor that had a hard time with my voice. I don't have any idea. You know, when they said, let's sing a hymn, and I started with Big Bad John? It was a joke, but he didn't take it that way. Okay, 1 Peter 1, verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds. Remember what Dr. George Redding always said. Anytime you see a therefore, look to see what it's there for. Okay. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Okay. The revelation of Jesus Christ comes when an individual accepts him as Lord and Savior. Now, the revelation of Jesus Christ is going to come by the power of the Holy Spirit, who is Jesus Christ and who is God. So Peter said, I want you all to get prepared here, but you're going to have to be self-controlled on it. You're going to have to prepare your minds for action. Sometimes not only is our mind not prepared for action, our mind it has went into default. It's like a computer has a virus and it's went to automatic shutdown. Have you ever sat around and caught yourself not even knowing what people are talking about around you? Yeah. And you think to yourself, where have I been? I've been sitting here all this time. I have no idea what they're talking about. And then you pray, God, please don't let them ask me a question. Because I have no idea what's going on. But that's what seems to be happening also with the Christians when God says, okay, I want you to prepare. I want you to get ready. Notice that Peter told them to prepare in the three areas, folks. These three areas are the full preparation for each of us as Christians to deal with the action God has laid out for. If you're a Christian, there's going to be action in your life. Inaction is not acceptable to God. And when, as a Christian, that Christian becomes inactive, when that Christian becomes inactive, I guarantee you something's going to act up in the people around you that's going to make you take action. Have you ever just sat down and said, you know, I just need to chill out for a while? I just need to take a pill. Took one too many. That's why we're getting the message we're in. What is happening? Number one, here's what we're going to do in 3 hours. Prepare their mind. Colossians 3:2. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Okay, if our mind is going to be prepared, you cannot prepare your mind by looking at the world. You have it throughout Scripture. We must always look to our individual life as an eternal life. See, we so often say, you know, I'm just on this earth for a few years. Well, yes, but you're an eternal being. So the Scripture tells us, I want you to look to eternity in every situation you're going on. Now, but what if my problem is earthly? You will not find a remedy from God that comes from the earth for your earthly problem. You can only find it from heaven. And he says, put your mind on me, Larry. But make sure that your focus is on heavenly matters. When you get to thinking about life, have you ever thought about maybe, you know, I've got to really look into this world and really see what's going on, and I've got to set my mind on the earthly matters. I'm not telling you you don't deal with earthly matters. I'm telling you you will not have the power to deal with those matters properly without a heavenly mindset. What's God going to think? Well, you know, people say, I just don't know what God thinks. And my question to him is, would you try reading his word? Or would you try prayer and asking him what he thinks? 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We have a spirit for a sound mind. Now, folks, sometimes I just don't picture my mind being that sound. Sometimes the problems of life and the problem with so many other people that you do as a pastor that you deal with, you're sitting there and you're thinking, my mind's going to collapse. And when you start thinking that your mind's going to collapse, it's a pretty good sign it's already went to sleep. Okay, God says, so I did not give you the spirit of fear, but I did give you the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. The heavenly powers that God gives us can only be recognized when you're looking to heaven. Well, you know, I need to go out here and I need to, you know, I need to get a bunch of friends to help me out with this. And friends are great. But folks, the problems we're dealing with today are far beyond any of our friends or us. Therefore, go to the Lord. That's what he's there for. He said so. Did he not say, come to me, all of you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest? Thinking about a child or thinking about relatives or thinking about a bad situation that's going on within your own family. How often have you seen that taken care of just because you're thinking about it and doing nothing about it? You see, when you go to the Lord, then you're turning it over to him. Father, I don't know the direction I need to go here. Would you please point me in the right way? God will do that. And God will send to you the type of spirit that you're going to need. And I'm talking about through another Christian, that you're going to need to be able to deal with that situation. So if we're going to prepare and we prepare our mind, the whole preparation of the mind should be on what does God say. I'm a Christian. Why would I not want to know more about what God says than the world? Okay? You remember ever going to a counselor? I mean, that's what I did for all those years. And the best advice that I noticed that I gave to people was I sat there and let them talk. Oh, it's a great feeling because you sit there, they start talking and all of that. You haven't said a word. I grunt ever so, you know, make a listening noise. And you sit there and they get up and say, oh, Jalvin Vance, you don't know how much I've appreciated this. Thank you for all your help. Now, you want to be put in your place? Let that happen. They sitting there and you haven't opened your mouth and they thank you. That lets you know that there wasn't much wisdom in that mouth and God had rather do it the other way. So, well, now you all know that, don't you? But I know you do. You've been in many places. You just wish you didn't want the people to give you advice. You just wanted them to sit there and be with you. You didn't need any advice because, no. Well, and that's what you'll find out a lot of times when somebody comes to, let me tell you what you need to do with your children. Oh yeah, I know. I can see you and Paula both going, you know, with that be, and it's all over. But the ones who want to tell you how to raise your children are the ones whose children are wild. They messed up on their own, so they want to tell you how to mess up. Go to God, folks. Okay, number two, prepare your conduct. 1 Peter 5:8, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Now, here's what I want you to remember, folks. When you're reading all of these from Peter and Apostle Paul, who are they talking to? The church. Yeah, they're talking to the church. When Paul went in and said, you people are worse than the heathens. Now, he didn't tell them they were going to hell. He said, you're worse. You clean your act up because you're acting worse than the people that don't even know Jesus. Here, he's telling the church, prepare your conduct, be self-controlled and alert. The enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for somebody to devour. You mean to tell me then, and here we go again, that the devil really can come into church and touch the life of a Christian? Why, you all know as well as I do, half the time he greets you out here in the parking lot before you walk through the door. You little knot-headed. I told your daddy that make sure that you wash behind you. Now, look at that stuff like that. Yeah, and the poor kid has just been a... Yeah, you all do remember the spit bath, right? Reckon any of the younger generation even do that anymore? A handkerchief and they... Oh, gosh. No, you're going to... You need to wait for eternity on that one, girl. Okay. Prepare their conduct. Well, in preparing your conduct, what do you prepare it for? You prepare it to be self-control. You will never be able to, in your human existence, none of us will ever be able to not think bad thoughts, not think about bad deeds, not think about certain sins. You are never going to be able not to do it. Now, when a Christian thinks that they are that way, that's when Satan has a field day with them. It's not that I can keep from thinking it, but I have been given the power to control it. Yep, control it. So therefore, okay, Larry, here's the sin, and here's the strength to control it. Okay, what's our problem? Well, Lord, give me strength on another one. I sort of like that sin. You know, I don't really want to control that. So let me ask for forgiveness before I do it, but prepare your conduct, meaning it's already prepared again in advance. The self-control part, again, does not mean that you don't think it. Young Christians have always had a difficult time with that. You know, I don't even feel like a Christian, they would say, because of the thoughts that I have in my mind. Well, because it bothered them, did that not prove they were Christians? But Satan does touch the life of the Christian that way in the old nature. And here's your last one. Prepare their spirit. Now, but I thought God gave me his spirit. He did. Does not his spirit intertwine with our spirit? When we step out of this body, do we not step out of this body in the spirit? Is it not the spirit that is within us that will never die, the real us? We know that this physical body is going to die with the exception of the rapture. We know that it's going to die. But we also know that who we are, our spirit, is never going to die. 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again. Born again, you got that? Has begotten us again to what? To a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. See, God said this is what's going to happen. You want to know whether a prophet is truly a prophet? When that prophet said this is going to happen, it happens. And you don't get the second and third chance. It happens. And the resurrection had been prophesied. And God was on hand to show us that resurrection through his son, Jesus. Now, again, we understand that we are God's children and that we have that hope. We have the power that he gives us. And God wants us to understand that when we focus on heavenly things, you want to, again, let's do this. You want to know what God you serve? What do you think about the most? You want to know what God you serve? What's foremost on your mind? Money? Then money becomes your God. Fun? Fun becomes your God. You know, the people who do that, it's always an oxymoron simply because, you know, sort of like the person said, I'm going to go out and get drunk and have fun. And I thought, drunk, fun. Then you ask them later, these are officers. Then you ask them later, how much fun do you have? I can't remember. We as Christians are obligated to make sure that our mind is set on Christ. And it's not just for us, folks. It's for people around us. You all know, and I've said this many times, it would break your all's heart if I went out and went a whoring into the world or went nuts. It would break your all's heart. It really would. Because we are part of one another. But what congregations don't realize also, that when one goes out and has these cases of the stupids, it also breaks the pastor's heart and those around. And you all know one that really broke our heart. And it's back, and we love him. I can tell you this. This is the only church I know that would be accepting like what that was needed there. Maybe it is because that about every one of us know hurt. We've seen the destruction, and we know what it does to people. And we turn our heart over and say, Lord, use me to please help them. I am broken seeing as many people in our generation that are broken. I hurt because some of those situations, gosh, I don't have, you know. You sit there and you listen, and sometimes they look at you and say, can you give me an answer? And all I can do is almost cry with them. And when you think that you've had it real bad, oh, folks, it's a horrible time. A nation that was a nation of all nations, and we're crumbling from within the same way Rome did. Did you know one of the Roman laws was, I don't know, I've told you, you all just forget it half time. Did you know that one of the Roman laws was, when we talk about abortion, one of the Roman laws was that if a person set a baby out alongside the road to die because they didn't want it, it was against the law to take the baby and feed the baby. It had to be let die. Okay, but I'm going to throw something at you all. Just found this out this week, and I didn't know this. So when we talk about now, is abortion murder because it says fetus, and at what point? Let me tell you what the scientists discovered. You all may have seen that report. Oh, I thought, amazed. Gosh, God's going to squish a lot of people. That right after, upon conception, that baby, child-to-be, has its own individual DNA. Now, we use DNA to lock people up. We use DNA to free people. You know why we do it? Because only an individual person could ever have that. It's not a DNA from the mama. It's not the DNA from the daddy. It is a personal DNA of that child upon conception. From that DNA, they can tell you the hair color. They can tell you the sex of the child. They can tell you all sorts of things about that child that is there as began. And the scientists are the ones that brought it out. Now, if it's an individual DNA, is that not a human being? Does not God figure? I think sometimes you people, you've really lost it. God knew about DNA before you knew about a bad cold. So God sets this in, and does he not just in our generation, all of a sudden they finished the mapping of the human body, and we call it the DNA, and it's individual? Right during the time of when America is killing so many babies through abortion, folks, the Lord is not happy.